We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. This is your host, Hatch, with my boy.
Yep, yep. The other host is in the building, T.O.
Building!
And we have three-time NBA champion, ooh, Los Angeles Lakers.
Showtime is in the building, ladies and gentlemen.
Byron Scott.
Yes, sir. Welcome to the show,
man,
brother.
Pleasure to be here,
this
man.
This is our second Laker,
pleasure
right?
To be
this
here.
Is our second, well, third. I guess Mitch Richmond counts, even though he
yeah,
was.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You know, well, not really.
He don't count. You know what?
Mitch, you know what,
thank
listen,
you for clearing.
I love Mitch. I love The Rock. That's my boy. But nah, if you play a okay. year or two on the Lakers, nah, that okay. don't well, that well, don't count as
don't
being
count.
A Laker. No.
Okay. Well,
no.
here's the question that everybody's always talking about, right? You got your greatest Lakers of all time. They always throw Kobe and Magic
of course.
And Kareem, right? And when
Shaquille
LeBron
O'Neal.
With Shaquille, when LeBron got here, they wanted to throw him in that conversation. Mm. I had a problem with it, but everybody else is like, he should be. He won a ring in the bubble. And so you don't.
But
you
it's to your point of what you're saying. Like, what does it take to be established or be known as like a lifetime Laker?
Yes.
You know what? Our standards are so different than a lot of organizations. And I think that's what makes the Lakers organization special is because just because LeBron is one of the greatest that ever played the game, you put on a Laker uniform and you're there 3 or 4 years, you're still not going to be mentioned, in my opinion, as one of the greatest Lakers.
Yeah, that's your opinion.
Yeah, in my opinion, longevity of being with an organization to me is a key.
Tenure.
Yeah,
tenure
is key. You know, he wins a second championship. Yeah, you could talk about him as one of the greatest Lakers, but still, in my mind,
years,
you got to be there. You almost got to be a lifelong Laker.
Let's talk about this second championship. The second year he's there and he wins the championship.
Was it a real championship?
That's what I'm going to. I tend to stand with Pat Riley, who made this statement as well.
Okay.
It's questionable. Mm-hmm. It's a bubble championship. Yes, do you have, you know, the ring, the banner? But I think for a lot of people, I'm like Pat Riley. There should be an asterisk,
absolutely,
you know, on that championship because there were just so many different variables and factors that went into that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Granted, like you said, we're not discounting LeBron's greatness.
Let me say that.
We're not disputing your greatness. But it just doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem right.
I hear you. I hear you. I just wonder if Pat Riley and the Miami Heat won, would he be saying the same thing? You know what I'm saying? So if they beat the Lakers in the finals, now is he going to be saying, you know what, we really shouldn't take this championship or count this? It's the same thing with San Antonio with the 50-game season back in the day, and they beat New York. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about it. You know, it should be an asterisk.
Right.
Listen, I just believe as long as the playing field is even.
Even.
Mm, okay.
Shouldn't be an asterisk.
Okay.
I know it was a bubble and all that stuff, but everybody had to play it. Everybody had to go through the same situation.
Right.
So why is it the fact that the Lakers win, everybody wants to put an asterisk or you know, discount?
Okay, well, I'm going
to
give you a reason why we put an asterisk
Give me one.
Because it's not an equal playing field because somebody of LeBron's age at the time needed that rest in order to rejuvenate his body. Else his body would have started to tail in like it has in all of these other seasons since he's been at the Lakers.
Okay, come on.
Answer that, B. Scott.
But again, everybody got a chance to rest.
But he needed it more.
First of all, that 35, 36-year-old man keeps himself in shape better than most of them 25, 26-year-old men.
Yes, I will agree with you on that.
He takes care of his body better than most of those guys. Yeah, he puts millions of dollars into making sure that he's able to play every single night.
Now, he's a guy
there is the same playing field, as far as I'm concerned. It's a level playing field. All those guys had the same opportunity to get as much rest as they could as well.
Okay, yeah, I agree with that. Now, you won. I lost that one. I'm 0-1 today.
No rebuttal.
Zero. We'll talk about a level playing field. Let's talk about the three-point line. Right? Yeah. Again, back in the day, like I said, you shot the mid-range, which is now today's three-point mark pretty much.
Yeah.
How many points you think you'd be averaging in today's game?
Oh, wow. With the Lakers Showtime team?
Or just period?
Just in general.
You're playing in
25,
nice.
26.
Wow.
That's
because again, the way you shot the ball, it's just, the three-point line, 3 feet difference back in the day from now?
No, it's the same.
They moved it.
Well, the original line, and then they moved it up, but then they moved it back.
Yeah, okay, right.
So they moved it back to the original state that it was, when they had it, implemented into the NBA in the first place. I just know, obviously the game is different.
Right,
it's a different era.
The three-point shot wasn't a weapon for us.
Big
men were the focus of
inside and outside.
Inside out. And that's how we played. We went inside to Kareem, we went inside to James Worthy. Mm-hmm. Magic, when he started posting up, we went inside and we played the game from the inside out.
Right.
The game today is played from the outside in.
Yes.
We never, in our wildest dreams, wouldn't have thought about coming down on a 3-on-2 fast break with me on this wing and James Worthy on this wing, Magic, and I'm going to stop over there and shoot a three.
Right.
I'm trying to get a dunk or a layup.
It's this.
You hit the free throw line,
we're starting to go to the basket.
You know what I'm saying?
Today's game.
Today they come down and they go straight there, and they're shooting three. It's just a different game. So if the game was played that way back when we played, I would have 25, 26 points a game.
Wow. Yeah, these guys are taking up really greater shots for good shots.
Right.
They pass up layups all day. You see people run up under the basket.
And you can
see
sometimes it will, in essence, come out be a deciding factor in some games because you go back and you rewind tape, and especially if you're a coach, it's like, if we go to the basket instead of going to the three-point line where they possibly miss these shots, then like that's a difference. That's a 2-4 point game swing.
Well, if you look at the percentages, you got a 90% chance of making a layup.
Right.
You got a 33% chance of making a three.
Right.
But see, the analytics tells us that, all right, he makes 4 or 5 layups, but if you take 12 threes and you make them at that clip, it's about the same amount of points.
Right.
Okay. So,
you know what I mean? So it kind of evens itself out. Mm-hmm. The mid-range game is gone.
Gone. It's either a dunk or a three-pointer.
Yeah, it's
either a
layup or dunk or it's a three-pointer.
Well, only a few people are keeping that mid-game.
Absolutely.
You got DeMar DeRozan, CP3, and Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
They're the ones that really just keep in that
And Booker's trying to bring it back.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
All those guys you mentioned are guys that can create their own shots.
True.
The guys that can't, they're going to play off of the stars. LeBron, he takes it to the basket. Everybody collapse. You're kicking it out to your three-point shooters because that's what they do. They catch and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the three guys, I would put another one. Kawhi Leonard is another guy.
Okay.
That gets to that mid-range game and can knock down those shots.
Right.
But those guys understand that those shots are just as important as, trying to shoot threes. And the percentage of them making those shots are a whole lot higher than it is for them trying to shoot threes.
Wow. Well, and you were NBA Coach of the Year. So you tell us, has analytics ruined the game?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
When did you see it start to change?
I really started to see it change when I got to the Lakers as a coach.
Okay, yeah.
Because they use that so much as a weapon, because of the analytics tells us. And I'm saying, I understand the analytics. Right. You got to shoot more threes. But you can't shoot more threes if you ain't got guys that can shoot the three.
Well, they can shoot them. They just can't make them.
I said, so what is that analytics telling you?
Analytics.
You know what I mean? So what is that telling you?
Right.
You telling me that we got to live by the analytics. And I'm telling you, we don't have guys that can make threes on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm in Golden State, hell yeah. I got Klay Thompson.
I don't need analytics
for that. I got
Steph
Curry. Yeah, as a coach, I don't need that. I know these guys can shoot.
Right.
So I think it's just giving some of the nerds, so to speak, in the world, a place in the NBA when they wouldn't have had a place.
Yeah.
Because of numbers.
Okay. Right.
You know what I'm saying? But as a purist and a guy who played the game and watches the game,
yeah.
You know, I'm looking at some guys like, okay, I know, you know, you guys got to shoot three, but you can't make them. Why would you keep shooting them?
Why would you keep shooting them?
For example, let's go to game 7 of the Boston and Miami Heat series.
Right.
We're talking about the three versus going to make a layup.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Jimmy Butler's
decision?
His decision to make that, you know, to shoot three versus, for me, who's one of the better finishers at the rim, creating contact, you know, creating fouls. What do you think about that decision for him to take that three versus going in on an Al Horford and going in, possibly getting an and one to tie the game or, you know, obviously win it?
Yeah, yeah. You know what? To be honest with you, I was smiling when he took the shot.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's balls.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's balls. You know, because I tell you another guy who did the same exact thing, Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant.
Right, right.
Because in his mind, it was, I'm going to end this right now.
Yeah.
I want to win this game right
and
now.
And I think that's what I want our viewers to hear and understand is that as a player, like I said, you don't think about analytics.
Mm.
You're playing the flow of the game. You understand that this guy's been playing 40-plus minutes every night.
Right.
And he has an opportunity, the ball in his hands.
Send him home.
To win the game.
Exactly.
Send him
home. You know what I mean? And to your point, you're like, yo, I want to end this right now.
I would have took the shot.
I had Kyrie Irving when I was coaching in Cleveland.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we were playing in Toronto. Game tied, you know. And I think we're down two. Same type of scenario. And called a timeout. I said, all right, we're gonna get a ball, Kyrie, 1-4, everybody flat on baseline. I said, do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And he stopped and went on the court. Then he came back. He said, Coach, what would you do?
Mm.
I said, I would shoot the three.
Mm.
Wow.
I said, I would put him out there misery.
Right.
So he has the ball. You know, he's at the, you know, a little bit beyond the three-point line, just looking at the clock. The clock started running down. He took a couple of steps. The dude backed up. Bam, three.
Wow. Mentality.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's that killer. But I would have shot the same thing.
Right.
I would have tried to shoot a three to put him out of the misery.
Right.
So Kyrie, right?
Yeah.
Had Kyrie at a young age, obviously. Right. What was some of the early things you saw? Like, yo, this kid's going to be great. Or did you not see those things when he was a younger player?
No. You know what? When we drafted him, I told everybody he's going to be rookie of the year.
Mm.
I said, I'm telling you right now, this kid is special. He had no weaknesses.
Okay.
You know, I said, man, you know, God bless us with the number one pick, and we get a chance to get this kid. After a workout, I was like, this dude's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Had no weaknesses. I mean, can go left, right, pull up off the jumper, you know, with off the dribble, catch and shoot, could post up. Great finisher when he got to basketball with either hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, my God, this dude is amazing. Wow. Now, I had Chris Paul, I had Jason Kidd, I had Baron Davis, I had some great point guards. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this dude had no weakness.
Wow.
So I knew, you know, going into his rookie year that I was like, man, I'm telling all those sports writers, he's going to win it, you know, at rookie of the year, I'm telling you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be an all-star multiple times. Mm-hmm. I said, and if he stays healthy, God willing, he'll be a Hall of Famer.
Right.
You know, and that still is true today. I mean, he's had so many injuries and things that he had to, you know, kind of get over. And then he's had some other stuff where the world is flat and all this bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. The mess.
We got to talk about that, you know, one of these days. Come on, Kyrie. Come on, dog. Really?
Talk about.
You know, but
talent-wise, he's different.
But he's really I think he's misunderstood in some instances. Mm-hmm. But I think he's a really terrific young man.
Mm-hmm.
But the kid, talent-wise, man,
listening to you talk, we had your teammate Michael Cooper here
a few months ago. Yeah. Black Gable.
And you're sitting here telling us about a rookie, you know, how you assessed him. And, you know, he did the same thing. They brought him down to assess Kobe.
Yes.
And he worked out Kobe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was saying some of the same things, like, you know, they looking each other down. Kobe sized him up.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's denying Kobe. He's playing Kobe like left, right, whatever the case may be. And Kobe he's balling. He's countering everything that, you know, that Michael Cooper is defending him on.
Yeah.
So give us something about, you know, obviously you came his rookie year, came back. Give us something about Kobe that you saw, you know, similar to what you saw in Kyrie, like, yo, this kid is gonna be that guy. And honestly, we obviously knew and saw his struggles in the playoffs, shooting the air balls and things of that nature.
Yeah.
But aside from that, what did you see?
You know, I saw hunger with this kid that I hadn't seen in a long time. Mm. You know, he would be at the gym shooting 10 o'clock practice. He's there at 8 o'clock, 8:30, and they didn't even have the lights on. He's out shooting. Because I remember coming to practice, because at that time I was old. I needed to get there an hour and a half,
stretch,
you know, ice down, get my heat packs on and all that. Yeah. And I came in one day, and it was at the Forum, and I'm walking in, I can hear a ball bouncing. Mm-hmm. So I go out towards the court, you know, and I mean, from afar, I still couldn't see nobody because it was dark. So I get halfway to the court, and I saw Kobe shooting. Mm-hmm. And I stood there for probably about a minute. And I was like, this dude, you know. I was like, loves wow. It. You know, went back, saw my boy Gary. I said, how long has he been here? Mm-hmm. He said, he got here before I did.
Wow. And Gary Vee's long-time trainer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. still greatest trainer ever, man. Yeah. I mean, wow. He was like, this kid's been here, you know, I don't know what time he got here because he was here before I got here.
Wow.
But when I got That's here, awesome. He was already dressed and
lathered
about to walk
up,
out
probably.
Of the court. Yep. And then going through practice and watching him play, mm-hmm. you know, I was just like, man, this kid has a chance to be amazing.
Wow.
And then he would sit by me during games and just ask me questions.
Yeah.
Just sitting there asking questions. So we got to be real tight.
Right.
Because he was a sponge, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and he would just sit by me on the bench, on the bus, you know, just mm-hmm. ask questions. Mm-hmm. Can we go here? Can we do that? You know, what about this? What about that? Mm. And I remember sitting down talking to him, and I was like, what do you want to do on this league? You know, what do you want to get out of it? Mm-hmm. And he said, I want to be one of the greatest players to ever play in this league. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we looked at each other and just stared at each other, and I looked at him, I said, you will be. Mm. I said, you will be. You keep working like you're working, you will be. Right. And so it was amazing, just his work ethic was something that I had, you know, even at 18 years old, was far above any guys that was in the league at that time.
Right, and fast forward to now, mm-hmm. we obviously know Kobe pretty much a carbon copy of a guy that obviously mm-hmm. you guys have had duels with, battles with out of Chicago, and Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. Give us something that you saw in Kobe.
Similarity.
Yeah, a lot of similarity. Because obviously, like I said, we've seen some CGI stuff.
Yeah, not the physical stuff.
Right.
Some of that mental
mentality.
Stuff, the mentality.
Yeah.
I mean, when you talk about those two guys, Kobe's mentality was so much like MJ's. Because MJ was I'm a kill you type guy. You know what I mean? You know what
so
I mean?
When you talk about your top three or your top five, like, greatest players, where does he rank? Because a lot of people throw in LeBron and MJ and Kobe sometimes get
Kobe.
Lost.
Yeah.
Like they don't. They it's almost like they've forgotten
what he did.
Like
what he did
accomplished
for 15
and who
years.
He is.
Yeah, you know what? If you put a top 10 together, I think it goes without saying Kobe's in the top 10. No. Without question. Mm-hmm. I don't, if somebody, you know, that's supposed to be an NBA
Analyst.
Aficionado says that he's not in the top 10, you got to drug test his ass. Cause something's wrong.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? Right. When you talk about Kareem, you talk about Michael Jordan, mm-hmm. you talk about Magic Johnson, you talk about Tim Duncan, mm-hmm. who's, you know,
A
lot of people don't talk about
Mr. Fundamental
because he just didn't do nothing flashy, but man, you know, he was
results.
Unbelievable. You
Straight
know,
results.
And you got Kobe in there, LeBron in there. You got 10 guys that you can name almost like that.
Right.
Now, it gets hard when you go to the top five. That's when it gets hard.
Right. You're right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
You know, because to me still, as much as I love MJ and you know, everybody's already kind of said he's the greatest, and I think it's hard to say who's the greatest because of eras. Because Kareem, mm-hmm. to me, was the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at what he did in high school, college, pros, there's no resume close to his, you know. UCLA plays 3 years, win 3 national championships, win 3 player of the year.
What?
You know,
right,
and only
right.
we need him winning four years in a row because freshmen wasn't allowed to play varsity.
Wow.
And he used to always tell us that, you know, their varsity team at UCLA was ranked number one in the country. He said, but on campus, they were ranked number two.
Two, because
the JV team, his team, he said, beat them in practice.
I didn't know that.
You know, that's so I think everything that he was able to establish and do, mm-hmm. When it comes down to the body of work, I think he's the greatest of all times. If you, right. you know, but there's going to be arguments because
right. of course
you,
know,
you
of
got
course.
Your LeBron lovers,
right. yeah. Oh, yeah,
who I love. Sure. I think LeBron's unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You got your MJs, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's always those three guys that you know people talk about, but Kareem seems to be left off that list
Absolutely.
More times than not.
True.
You know. So True. when we come to talking about the best players of all time, I think you know when you talk about the top 10, Kobe Bryant is in there. You know.
100,000 out of 100,000.
Yeah. 100 lists, he should be in there 100 times.
Yeah.
Right, right.
When you get to the top five, then it's going to be debatable.
Always.
You know, because for me, top five, you know, greatest, I'm always a position guy. I go by who's the top, who's
At that
the top
position,
center,
yeah.
who's the top power forward, who's the top small forward. Point guard to me, greatest point guard of all time is Magic Johnson.
Okay. Right. Well, let's go over that. Okay. You got Magic at your one.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's at your two?
Michael Jordan.
All right. Who's at your three?
That's debatable.
Okay, all right.
That's the one I have trouble
with. That's the tough one.
That's the tough
that's
one.
Tough
Number
one.
Four, though, is Tim Duncan.
Right, right.
Number five for me is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Right.
So your number three, what criteria?
Yeah,
and,
what requirements?
And
what guys,
yeah, and who's in that debatable category?
So you got Tim Duncan. That's
You got Tim Duncan. So
starter.
In that debatable you know, category for number three, that three position is Larry Bird.
Right.
Who is one of the Larry Bird, man, I mean, you know, you talk about the guy that didn't have physical talent-wise,
right.
couldn't run.
Right, couldn't
you
jump.
Know, couldn't jump. But at the end of the game, he got 25, 14, and 10.
And talking noise.
And talk shit the whole game.
That's what I hear.
He was a noise.
That's what I hear.
So, I mean, LeBron is in that, you know, in that list.
Yep.
You know, obviously at that three spot.
Yep.
You know, with him, Larry, Dr. J, what he was able to do to the game.
Yep.
That one's the hardest one for me.
Absolutely.
You know? And right. if I had to pick, I would say LeBron.
Okay.
But I would be like, man, okay, let me really go back to some of these threes and look at them
right,
and see what
right.
they brought to the table.
Yeah.
Larry Bird to me. It was so much fun playing against him because he talked so much shit.
Well, what he hit you? What's something simple he
man.
Hit you with?
He hit you with you jump high, but you don't jump that high. You can't get this. He hit you with. Listen, guys, don't worry about the play. I'm gonna go right over here, catch it, and shoot it in y'all face, and any damn thing y'all can do about it.
And he did it.
And he did it. Ooh. You know, so I remember the 30 for 30 we was talking about. You know, the rivalry between the Lakers and
right,
Celtics.
Right.
And I remember talking about, he talked a whole lot of shit, but I guess it ain't shit talking if you
backing it up.
Yeah, I'm just
and
talking.
And he was backing it up,
right,
you know.
Right, right.
And that was one of the greatest things I loved about him and the fact that the story goes that when he played against Denver, they had a guy named John Hanslick. You remember John Hanslick?
No, I don't
6'7", Notre Dame guy, white guy, really good defender,
okay,
right?
Okay, okay.
They put him on Larry, and Larry was weighing his ass out.
Absolutely.
And Larry would run by the bench and tell Doug Moe, who was the coach, get him off me. That's
right
disrespectful. That's disrespectful.
Yes.
And he was like, what's disrespectful?
Yeah.
He says, disrespectful for y'all to put a white guy on me.
Yeah.
Put a black guy on me. That's why he gives Coop so much. He still says to this day, Coop is the best defender he's ever played against.
Wow.
Really?
But he was like, you disrespecting me by putting a white guy on me.
I feel you.
But that's Larry, because when he played back in the day, that's all he played against was brothers.
That's
so he was like, don't put no white guy on me. That's disrespect. So,
what?
So when he did that, he said, I had to torch his ass so they understand.
And you ain't going to see him again.
Get him off me.
Yeah.
But that was Larry Bird.
If you put a white corner on me, I would feel the same. Yeah. Like, don't put a white corner
that's
out here.
Honestly, I didn't say that.
But that's how you feel.
But that's how I felt. Because, like I said, we went to small schools.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And I was starting to get my feet wet in San Francisco, starting to really, like I said, playing under the wings of Jerry Rice, starting to kind of get my feet wet. And this is when Jason Sehorn started playing.
Yeah, Sehorn.
Yeah.
So it was like,
you
know, one of those great white hope type of things. And I'm like, he's coming in highly touted from the Giants. Like, so it was like that matchup.
Right, right.
And in my mind, I'm like, I get it, but I don't. I'm like, yo, I'm not going to allow this dude to
torture his ass. I get it.
Because I know, you know, we got homies, you know what I mean? We got people watching the game.
Like, how you going to let that dude shut
if
you down?
Talking smack, if he shuts you down, they going to talk all kinds of smack. They're going to never live it down.
Dude, I'm like, but that was my mentality.
Right.
I saw that, and, like, it fueled me.
Right,
yeah.
So it was like I had an aggression. Every time I got that ball, I was trying to do something with
right.
it.
Right.
That's something funny. With it. I'm I get you. I respect you to a degree, but you're
right.
not gonna.
You ain't gonna be out here with
no,
me.
No, you're not gonna.
But Tio, like you said, you felt that way. Larry said the shit.
I know. To the coach.
Right.
To
he
the
went
coach.
By the coach and told him to get him off me.
The whole bench.
That's disrespectful for him to be on me. I mean, that's how Larry Bird was. And that's
I love it.
you know, I mean, one of the reasons that he's still one of my favorite people and players to watch back in the day is because he was true to himself.
True to himself.
Even the incident with Isaiah saying it, well, if he was a black player, you know, you remember
he'd
that?
Just be another player, right?
And Larry was like, man, I don't pay no attention to that stuff, you know? Man, y'all want to do a press conference for all this? Man, I want to go play ball, you know? Yeah. And I loved that about Larry.
Larry's
he was just
true, man.
Larry Legend was a bad boy.
That's what I try to tell people all the time. Right. They just don't, they don't want to put him in there, just be like, you don't understand. Because again, he had the killer mentality.
Oh,
he had the Jordan Kobe mentality.
In a sense, he was like Tim Duncan, you know what I mean?
You guys heard about it,
you know what I mean, him trash talking, but his game, like I said, we didn't hear any of that, you know what I mean?
No.
Like, he just went out and played, you know what I mean? He just put in work.
Yeah.
Like you said, you look at the stat sheet at the end of the day, he's 25-10-5, whatever.
Triple can't outrun nobody.
Right.
But he understood how to play. He was smart as hell. His basketball IQ was so high.
Right.
And he could see the court. And this is what I say about great players. And same thing, T.O., with you guys when you guys played as well. Mm-hmm. The game is in slow motion.
Yes.
When you're a superstar.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Everybody else, the game is going 100 miles an hour, but you see it frame by frame.
Yeah.
So he's already seeing stuff before it happens. Mm-hmm. So he knows as soon as I catch it, I got Kevin McHale over here. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's how his brain worked. And he was so smart, man. It was fun to watch him play. It wasn't fun to play against his ass.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
I mean,
Coop had to guard him. I did. I was like, I'm admiring him from afar. Anyway, you got him, Coop. You know, Coop didn't yet had to guard him. You know, James had to guard him.
You was over there on Dennis Johnson.
But I'm like, dude, you know, when I went to the bench and was just watching him, he's like, man, I'm going to go right over here to the corner. I'm going to catch and shoot. Ain't damn thing y'all can do
about it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Speaking of the phrase you said just then, that you didn't want to play against a guy like that, it's going to be hard to guard him. And obviously, we talked about Kobe. What do you think players going into a game having to play against Kobe?
Kobe?
What do you think their mentality was? Because as you said, it's like, it's not enjoyable knowing that unless you're a competitor.
Busted. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Knowing that. Because let's talk about the year that he just went off. He had a streak of 50 games in a row.
Yeah.
Five or six of them.
Yeah, one against me, because I remember coaching him. But I can tell you exactly how players feel, T.O., because I had to guard MJ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And every game that I went in playing against MJ, first of all, I was like, man, I'm happy it's just twice a year.
He ain't in the West because
I'm happy it's twice a year. And it wasn't I was scared. It was just like, I know this dude's a killer. Mm-hmm. I said, but I gotta go out here and show up.
Yep.
Right.
You know, I'm going to challenge his ass as much as I can. But I also had to understand that, you know what, play off his weakness. And at the time, it was his jump shot. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, I'm going to embarrass him to make him shoot jump shots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was games where I guard him. He was 6 for 26. Mm. And then there was a game. The most he scored on me was 39.
Okay.
You know.
That's a lot.
And that's a lot. You know, and he was averaging 31. So, you know. But the 6 for 26, I was like, all right, did my job. You, the next time I played, he had 39.
Yeah.
But it would take him 30 shots to get it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, all right, I'm going to make it hard
on
you.
That's a hard 39.
I'm going to make it hard as hell.
Right. You know, yeah, it's not an
you
easy.
Know, you're going to respect. I respect you, but you're going you gonna have to work for this.
Right. So if a guy's getting an easy 39,
then you try. You can
count for Christmas.
But it's funny because we played against him in the form, and it was my 10th year in the league. So it was my last year with the Lakers at that time. We had drafted a guy, Anthony Peeler, from Missouri. Yeah.
Lefty,
exactly. Mm-hmm. So I hurt my ankle. So the trainer's like, I don't know if you're going to be able to play tonight. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, we'll see. You know, let's just wait till game time. So Chicago's bus is coming down the form, and I'm walking out. MJ gets off, and he was like, B. Scott, what's up? I said, man, what's up, MJ? He said, man, I heard you ain't playing tonight. I said, yeah, I don't know yet. Mm-hmm. He said, well, if you don't play, who's going to guard me? I said, Anthony Peeler. He said, the rookie? Shit, 50. Swear to God.
Hey,
swear
no
to God.
Pause.
What? And so,
no hesitation.
No hesitation. So I go home. I come back to the game, got my suit on. You know, the players go out to warm up, and then Anthony's coming towards the bench. And I say, Anthony, listen. Mm-hmm. He said he's going for 50 tonight. So what you don't want to do is piss him off.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I said, this is how you guard MJ. I said, don't be all physical and trying to body him because he's going to go around you, man.
Yeah.
I said, back up, give him space, dare him to shoot jump shots, challenge him. He make them, he make them.
Right. Yep.
I got him. Okay. Every time MJ scored, he looked at me on the bench.
Told you.
54.
Ooh.
What?
54. And missed a dunk. Missed a breakaway dunk that hit the back of the
rim. Yeah, I remember that
54.
One.
54.
The little side joint. Yeah, yep. I remember.
Told me, he said, 50. 54. Ooh.
I love it.
That's how bad that boy was.
Whoa.
Mike was a bad dude.
Man.
Mike was a bad dude.
Bad man.
No, so if you're like, okay, you're going to play the game, right? You're injured.
Yeah.
And then you say he goes out and scores 50. Do you tell the media that you're injured? You're like, I wasn't feeling 100
tonight.
I wasn't
100%.
No. Okay.
Good. You know, we had our little saying, you know, with the Lakers, purple and gold, you put it on, there's no excuses.
Yeah, you put it on, it's on.
You That's put your it. Uniform on, we don't want to hear shit. You come out here and play.
All right. Well, let's take it back to the 2022 Lakers, right? You put it on, right? How do you think the new Laker look is gonna, you know, do this coming up year?
Yeah, we have Darvin Ham being the head coach. I want to know too. To your point, just put yourself in Darvin Ham's shoes right now. Mm-hmm. You get no draft picks this year. You have your roster basically from last year.
Yeah.
The West is not changing.
Mm-mm.
And it's going to get
tougher.
Right, and I'll just
get tougher.
It's about to get tougher. How do you get the roster that you have right now to be able to compete and better what they had than what they did last year?
Yeah. You know what? I show a lot of films of last year.
What we didn't do. Because that hurts.
Because you got to address
this,
that.
This is the same, this is the same roster, guys. Because, first of all, his hands are tied. You ain't got draft picks.
Right.
You can't trade certain guys. Right. You know, even though everybody been talking about trading Russ and all this stuff.
First of all, the cap, the salary.
I don't think it was Russ's fault. Right. You know, I love Russ, too. I love the way that he plays. You know, Kobe was one of his biggest fans because he loved the way this guy competes every night.
Yeah.
You know, so with this team that we got coming up, number one, you got to stay healthy.
Yes.
That's number one. If you stay healthy.
To your point, they have addressed that. The training staff or the trainer that they've had no longer there.
Well, you know what? Gary Vitti, when Gary Vitti retired, that's a huge hole to fill. Sure.
Darvin Ham, he has to address some of the issue. Healthy, he can't do anything about that.
Right.
I mean, obviously that's the onus on an individual player themselves to take care of the bodies, do what's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
They're obviously aware of the injuries. How do you address, or how does Darvin address some of the glaring things that prevented, you know, them from getting where they needed to be? Obviously, like I said, there's chemistry, continuity.
Yeah.
You have a lot of veteran guys. We didn't mention Carmelo Anthony.
Right.
And obviously, like I said, you think about Russell, the units that he was on the floor with, wasn't a great fit. I know he addressed a little bit of that in his press conference, but I think the main issue is Russell Westbrook. What do you think his conversation is going to be with Russell? Because I think that's the elephant in the room.
Oh, no doubt about it. My conversation would be, the first thing would be is, You know, what are you willing to do? Mm. You know, are you willing to really sacrifice? Do you really want to win a championship?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. You didn't got all the numbers. You didn't, made all the money, got all the numbers. Are you really willing to win a championship? If you're willing to win a championship, this is what you got to do. I even said, you know, last year when they were going through their struggles, if I was Frank Vogel, I said, you know what? I would have a heart-to-heart talk with him and said, listen, I'm going to bring you off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Bring you off the bench with the second unit. You can be Russ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? We need you to be Russ at that point. Yeah. You can get to the basket, take your shots. With this first unit, you can't be Russ because you don't have the ball in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
LeBron's going to have the ball in his hands, and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if we're healthy with AD and LeBron out there, we won a championship with that combination before. Mm-hmm. But bringing you off the bench with Carmelo, okay, another guy that's a catch. Carmelo, same thing. You're going to be able to catch and shoot like he did last year anyway.
Yep.
He was able to fulfill his role.
Russ
wasn't able to.
Right.
Right. So that's my first conversation. Mm-hmm. But when like I said, going back to showing videos and clips of last year, you one of the worst defensive teams in the league.
Yes.
I'm going to show you all the clips on all the breakdowns.
Right.
And guys, is this who
effort.
We are?
It was just effort. It was
a lot of
effort.
Exactly. It's not effort. That's all defense has ever been.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's effort. Yeah. You know, if you can give me that second and third effort.
Yeah.
You know, because you're going to get beat.
Yeah.
But when you get beat, are you just going to stand there? Or are you going to go to where you think the ball is going? You know, are you going to help a teammate?
Anticipation.
Mm-hmm. Sinking to the level of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Things of that nature. So my first conversation with those guys is, I'm going to show you a bunch of tape of last year and how we were terrible on the defensive end. And I'm not going to sugarcoat nothing.
Right. Can't do it.
You know
it
what
anyway.
I mean? Because it's so glaring. You got to see it.
Yeah.
Then that second portion of that is talking to Russ one-on-one and telling him this is what you got to do. And are you willing to sacrifice, to win a championship? And if the answer is yes, okay, those are words.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Those are words. To the point. I want to see the action.
If you're a champion, right, and you've won championships and you have to tell a player who's a great player but he hasn't won championships, you being a great player has nothing to do with winning championships.
Correct.
And they don't want to understand
that
at times. You know, it's like you got to understand, like, there's a way to do the championship thing. There's a way to do the get $200 million thing.
It's really
two total different
situations.
But if you do the championship thing, you're going to get the money anyway.
That's going to come.
That's what I keep telling you.
Yes. If you win, my rookie year, that's the one thing the Magic told me. He was like, look, when we win, we all win. And, you know, I'm a rookie. I'm like, yeah, I know. He's like, no, you don't understand.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, I do. We win a championship, we all win. He's like, you don't understand.
It goes beyond.
Yeah, he was right. You know, because the next year we won the championship, all the endorsements and people, just coming at you. You know, where you turning down stuff.
Right.
Because, it's like, man, I got this.
Yeah.
And then what they couldn't afford to pay Magic, Magic would tell him, and he was great. He was like, look, you got to pay me this amount. And they was like, well, we don't have that. He said, well, call Byron or call Coop or
that's
call
awesome.
Jane.
Well, that's my
They call
right
us.
Today.
You
that's
know,
awesome.
We like, yeah, I'll
we'll
do
take
it.
It.
Right.
Well,
I'll
what you talking
I'll be
about?
There.
So right. we made so much money, during the offseason.
Yeah.
I came back to training camp. I was like, but now I know what you mean.
Yeah, right.
You know, and like you said, these guys don't understand that.
They have to be receptive. I obviously, that's to your point.
Absolutely.
They have to be receptive.
Absolutely.
To really somebody that's been there, done that. And I was like I said, your accomplishments are your accomplishments. But that doesn't mean, like I said, you know it all and your talent is going to really get you there.
Yeah.
I think, for one, I think also, I'm a basketball fan. Like I said, love Russ, love what he's done, what he's accomplished. I think what's missing in his game is a jump shot. Like a consistent shooting one. Right.
Jump shot.
Is that something that you would address? Like, you talking about pulling him in one-on-one. Like, that's something as a point guard and what he lacks in his game.
Yeah.
Because I'm like you. If you know a guy's weaknesses, it's just like you saw with MJ. You know that he can't really shoot that well.
At that point of his career.
At that point in his career. I'm a back off. I'm gonna let you shoot.
Yeah.
If you saw a lot of the games last year, a lot of teams Russ, I'm the defender.
They
were guarding him like this.
Yeah, right.
So like you said, I mean, he's got to obviously.
Do you think that's in him to
go work?
Because I know, bro, you gotta be. Not just a you got to be a realist to understand what you're good at and what you're
so
not
it's
good at.
It's not that
I mean, bro, you don't need.
A,
I don't need like I know what I was good at and what I wasn't good at. I don't need a coach to come in and show me, like bro,
or
like,
tell me. You know what? You need to work on. No, I already know.
But here's real talk. Because when they were playing
the Lakers the year before, before he came to LA, obviously, right? The Lakers played him the same way. They just let him shoot. So why would you go get that and add that to your roster? That's what I didn't think that was the good move. Listen, I didn't think that was the right move.
Listen, they won the championship. Yo, bubble, all that crap don't matter. They won it 2 years ago with two superstars. Mm-hmm. And about five great role players that understood
Kyle
their roles.
Kuzma, yes. Alex Caruso, KCP, big. And Danny Green.
There you go. And you can throw Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee in there as well.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Huge in the playoffs.
They had great role players that understood their roles.
Yep. And especially JaVale McGee.
Yeah.
Understanding
role player.
His journey of where he started and where he's ended up.
Yeah. JaVale said, look, I'm going to set picks and roll and block shots and rebound.
And be cool with it.
And win a championship.
And that's a credit not only to JaVale, but I think that's a discredit to the coaches that had him initially, because when he went to the Golden State Warriors, they understood what he brought to the game and used it to the T.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree 110% with you.
Everybody's like, yo, who is this guy?
Right.
He been here.
I'm watching everybody.
Around.
And I'm,
right.
He's in Washington. He's on ESPN for all the wrong reasons.
Well, Shaq and the Fool. He was on there.
That's right.
I thought it was JaVale the Fool. I mean, exactly. I thought they were going to rename it. It was so much. But like you said, to his credit, he understood at a point in time that, okay, you know what? I got to be a role player, and there's certain things I got to do on a night-to-night basis to get playing time and to be able to win. The one thing that I do, when I used to coach, I didn't leave it up to the player. I said, this is your role for this team. Mm. And I would put it on the 3x5 card, and everyone started off with defend.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone. You know, here's yours, here's yours, here's yours, and everyone started off with defend.
That's the mentality.
Big guys, yeah. Some of them, next thing was rebound. You know, but whatever it was defined on that card. Mm. So you couldn't go to the public and the media and everything and say, well, I don't know my role. That's a bull. I gave it to you in training camp.
This
is your role with this team.
Right, right.
Now, with another team, it might be different. But what I need you to do
with this team,
this is what you got to do to be successful and for us to be successful.
So what does Darvin Ham need to do to be successful? What is his challenges?
Oof. He's got a bunch of because he's got a bunch of guys right now that, like you said earlier, that don't have any chemistry whatsoever.
Right.
They have no cohesiveness right now whatsoever, right? He's got to get them to buy in to playing championship defense every single night. Mm-hmm. Two teams that's in the finals right now, number one and number two in defense.
Always. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Golden State, you know, they've been there six times in the last 8 years. Every year they've won a championship or even been to the finals, they've been in the top three on the defensive end.
Defensive side.
Go back to the Lakers in the bubble. They won the championship. They were one of the top defensive teams in the NBA.
Yep.
It's not a secret.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Defense wins championships.
Defense.
Absolutely.
If you got a great offense, but you don't have a great defense, okay, you know, there's going to be some times where it's going to be one of those, you know, up in the air game. But if you got a great defense and a good offense, you got a chance to win. Baltimore won championship with defense.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not a mystery. So he's got to get these guys to buy in to playing defense every single night and holding each other accountable.
Accountable, yes.
Yeah, you know, I don't think they do that. I don't think they hold each other accountable.
No. Again, it's more of a, you know, we're having fun. Personally, that's what I see. I go, look.
You have fun when you win.
Yeah, that's my whole. Because
I don't want to hear that.
It's no fun when you lose in a city like this.
Right.
You know,
you're having fun when you win.
Fun. It can't be fun when you're in that press conference. That's when it gets real. After the game, you don't play well.
Right.
And they start firing them questions at you, and you have to sit up there and answer it with a straight face. That can't be fun.
It's not.
You know?
You know, and you guys know losing ain't fun, man.
No.
Losing sucks, you know what I mean?
Right. Especially if you're a winner.
Yeah, especially if you're a winner.
You're used to winning.
Yeah. And you got losers around you.
Yeah.
Man, I remember when I left the Lakers, I went to Indiana. Mm-hmm. Great time in Indiana for 2 years because Larry Brown bought me in there because I was a winner. Mm-hmm. And he said, I need you to teach these guys
how to win. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I need you to score off the bench, you know, for me. And I need you to teach them your experience. Teach them.
Veteran leadership.
Yeah. And it was great because I had Reggie Miller. Mm. I had the Davis boys. And the number one thing with those guys, they wanted to listen and learn.
Mm. Yeah.
So everything that I told them, this is what we did in L.A. That's why we won.
And
they were like, okay, let's do that. And we got close.
Yeah.
Then I left. You know, I go to expansion team, Grizzlies, and I'm with these guys. I was like, okay, that's what losers look like.
Yeah.
Man, it's just
this is what losers look like.
It's different.
It is totally different.
Yeah.
It's a different
And I
mentality.
Wouldn't say that it was losing. It was just a rebuilding. I mean, that was like, that was, you talking about expansion team?
T.O., no. Expansion team, you put a bunch of, but they just losers. Them dudes, they got to lose.
Because they're not trying. They're not doing their best day in and day out.
No, they come in for practice. They talking about what they did all night at the club. And then they come in, practice at 11. They walking in at 10:55, 10:45. I'm like, dog.
That's not it. And you can't win like that.
I've been there an hour and a half. You know, I go in the weight room, get my weights on, you know, get my workout in.
Right.
Go on the court, get my shots up, you know, and then I'm ready to practice. Wow. These guys are just walking in, talking about we was at the club last night, blah, blah. I'm like, man, that's what losers look like.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And I found that out because I had never been on a losing team.
Right.
Yeah. And it just separated it.
From a coach's perspective, because this is what I always wondered as a player, right? I was never the go out and hang out type of guy, or I would never not be ready to practice, right?
Right.
But when you saw a player, you know, the hangout and you heard the story and you know he wasn't prepared, then goes out and has a bad game, what do you say to that guy? Or do you say anything?
Yeah,
I always said something because I couldn't help it. You know, I had Jordan Clarkson, who's terrific. Mm-hmm. Love Jordan, you know, and then
sixth man of the year,
doing great in Utah. Boy can flat out ball. I held him back for a while until I thought he was really ready his rookie year, and then I was like, he's ready. Mm-hmm. You know, let's play him. Mm-hmm. But then Jordan was a guy that likes to hang out. You know, but he was young. You know, and I understood that.
In Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles. LA. I said, listen, L.A., I done seen eat up a whole lot of people. Eat you up and spit you out.
Absolutely.
You know? And so me and Jordan having a talk one day, and I told him, I said, listen, I know you go out. Mm-hmm. I said, and I don't ask people. People tell me.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
People are coming up. Yeah, I saw Jordan Clarkson out last night till 3 a.m. I was like, so people are just coming up.
Of course.
And just giving me information. It's not like I'm trying to get it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I remember we were in Sacramento, and Jordan was on the bus. Well, he came on the bus, and I was like, how'd you do that? What'd you do last night, Jordan? And I had already heard.
You know, right,
he
like, yep.
And the good thing about him, he wouldn't lie to me. He said, yeah, I went out last night, Coach.
Okay.
I said, listen, I played too. Mm-hmm. I went out too. I said, I had fun as well. I said, but admitting that, my ass was back in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because I got to get up the next day and I got to run. Mm-hmm. And Pat Riley's, you know, his practice wasn't no joke. You got to run and shoot around.
Right. Well, yeah, y'all walk through, just run through.
Yeah, our shoot around wasn't come in just shoot the ball. Shoot around was practice.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then we played.
Yeah.
And Magic's the same way. He's like, no, man, I got to push that ball up to down the floor tonight. You know, so I can't be going out partying and all this.
Right.
So I said, Jordan, I understand you partying. It's okay. I said, but you got to understand when to say no and when. I got to get out of here. I got to get rest. Mm-hmm. I got to get off my feet.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you've been doing this for a while. I've been hearing about it. I said, but you need to just kind of slow down and understand, you know, what do you want to be in this league? What do you want to get out?
Yeah.
What do you want to get out of this, right? That night, he hurt his ankle. That night, he hurt his ankle. And we was on the bus, and he was just looking at me, shaking his head.
Message.
Yeah. I was like...
Yeah, it
maybe
gets
not
no clear.
Rest, Jordan, you over the
it
last
no
few
clear.
Days, you know.
Yeah.
And now the kid is just, you know.
Now he's phenomenal. Again, like I said, sixth man of the year. But who have you, again, you've been in L.A. a long time.
I have.
So have you seen anybody's career trending up, get to L.A., lose? Because I know a couple myself. Again,
I'm not going to throw their names out there like that.
I'm not going to throw them on the,
you know what I mean?
Right, not the name, but the career. Because people have to understand, playing in Milwaukee or Miami is totally different.
OKC.
L.A. and Detroit is totally different for a professional
playing
athlete.
Playing in L.A. and playing New York, Chicago, those are places that will eat you alive.
Mm.
And I've seen it. You know, like you said, I've talked to guys, told them right when they got here. I'm like, hey, man, listen, L.A., you know, will eat you up if you ain't careful. So, you know, just watch what you're doing, watch where you're going, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I've been here all my life.
Yeah.
I said, so I know. I said, so, but I'm just letting you know. And then, you know, 2 months later, I'm like, he gone.
Gone.
And to you guys' point, when you think about guys, I would say, being drafted here, I'm going to name three off the bat that you saw or kind of expected great things from here, didn't happen. but they've gone elsewhere, and they are balling out.
Played well.
We just mentioned Jordan Clarkson.
That's one, for sure.
We'll go Julius Randle.
For sure.
And Brandon Ingram.
I already know. BI. Absolutely.
I'm kind of like, I'm in awe of what they've done, but I'm thinking, how did they get out of L.A.?
Yeah.
Because you know, think about
you know,
the state
you
of...
You know how they got out.
No, I'm asking the guests here.
he knows too.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out...
Assistant general manager.
How do these guys get out of here? Because you think of the state of where the team is now. And think about what if those pieces were still here. In addition to those four guys that won the championship in the bubble, your KCPs, the Alex Caruso's, your Danny Green's, your Kyle Kuzma. What a LeBron James-led team. What do you think this team would be right now?
Oh, man, they'd be in the finals.
Absolutely. They'd be playing right now.
Yeah. I mean, Jordan Clarkson was a little bit of a mystery to me that they allowed him to get away. Julius Randle, you know, I thought that was a little bit of a mystery as well. I was, you know, fortunate enough to coach both those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And both those guys were willing to work their ass off.
I
saw this on a day-to-day basis. Mm. Both those guys were. So I'm not shocked at all that they're playing the way they're playing in New York and in Utah. Not shocked at all. Ingram, when the deal was being done for, you know, for Anthony Davis, I was sitting there, I was like, listen, I know you got to give a lot up.
Right.
But
don't give that up.
Between Ingram and Kuzman, try to sell him on Kuzman.
Try to keep Ingram. Keep Ingram.
But, you know, New Orleans got to give him credit. They were smart enough to be like, no, we want Ingram.
We want that guy.
And that young man is nice.
Man, is he not balling?
That young man is
nice. He's trending up.
And he's still trending.
Oh, yeah. He's going to continue to trend up.
Julius Randle has, I mean, he's shown flashes. They've been streaky. I think right now he's streaky. Consistency is what I want to see more of. Obviously, he has that heart, that practice. You can tell, and I've heard he's talked to Kobe, taking some of what his blueprints of what Kobe has done, going to games or teams that they're about to play the night before, going to gyms, putting up shots, this and that and the other. And you've seen it pay off. I didn't see the expansion of his jump shot. You know, he was more of an inside guy when he was here.
Right.
Now you've seen him go and take his game out to the mid-range, to obviously shooting the three.
Yeah.
To, like I said, the development of those guys, like I said, it's been awesome.
It's been great to watch.
Right. It's not a surprise to you.
No, not a surprise. Most improved player, you know, Julian, and then six men in a year, Jordan.
Right. Seeing the emergence of what, I mean, B.I., he's their go-to player.
Like I said.
I mean, you add, obviously.
He's an all-star.
Right. You add, you know, you add Zion back to the mix, you know, this year. I mean.
They could be
like
scary.
The West about to be crazy.
The West is a problem.
The West is about to be a problem.
So back to the point, like, Darvin Ham and the Lakers lost LeBron. Have we seen LeBron's last championship? Because the West is not getting any easier. Because you got to look at what's out of the West right now. You got the Phoenix Suns. You got
Memphis.
Memphis.
You got the Memphis boys. That's who I'm talking about.
You got, obviously, the
Warriors. You got Utah and Denver as well.
Yeah, man,
Utah,
come on. Denver.
Yeah.
No, and the Clippers. I mean, what can the Lakers
expect this year? Because obviously every year it's championship.
Yeah, it's championship or bust.
So, but do you honestly feel that? Because I understand Lakers, I've been out here 10 years and I get it.
But sometimes you gotta be a realist about these things.
Yeah.
Is this a championship year for you guys?
I want to say, you know, I bleed purple and gold.
I know you do.
You know, so I want to sit here and say, yeah, they got a chance, but I don't see it this year.
No.
I don't see it this year unless they can make some big splash.
They have to.
In some
free agency.
Way.
They have to.
And I just don't see that happening. So, again, you got to go with what, you know, you got to go with the women you brought to the dance. And that's.
You got
to
dance with
the
team.
Yeah, that's basically the guys they got right now.
Right.
And you got to fix their mentality of understanding that they got to, you know, they got to defend every single night. They got to play for one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can't be individuals thinking that I got to do this, I got to do that. We know LeBron ain't like that anyway. LeBron's the ultimate team player.
Right.
You know, because if he wasn't, LeBron could lead the league in scoring every year if he wanted to.
Right. True. So is it going to take those key guys in those key positions? You, obviously, your Russells, your Carmelo Anthony's, mm-hmm. your AD. Mm-hmm. Is it going to take LeBron and everybody to get in the room like, yo, guys, this is the challenge before us?
Yeah.
Yeah, multiple times.
I mean, they don't have to get in rule with everybody else. It can just be those four guys.
Like you said,
those four guys should have a meeting.
Absolutely.
And LeBron should say, this is what we got to do.
Right.
You know, and again, like I said earlier, everybody in that room is going to say, I'm with that.
But
those are words.
You got to go out and
you got to go out on the court and show that you are willing to sacrifice
every night,
you know, on both ends of the floor. And if they are willing to do that, I still would not bet against LeBron James in a seven-game series. I mean, that's how dominant he can be.
Right.
But he's
similar to Tom Brady. You don't bet against him.
I bet against him once. Right. I ain't never bet against Tom Brady ever again in life.
Right.
Like, and those other guys.
Speaking of coaching, so do you want to get back in?
Oh, hell
coaching?
No.
Done.
No.
Oh, hell.
What if it was like on the ASU?
On the collegiate level,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
On the collegiate level, I would do it.
Because you went to ASU.
I went to ASU.
It would also be a possibility.
Yeah, but again, Bobby Hurley is doing a great job there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They got a great AD who I know real well. Edwards with the football program is doing. ASU. You guys know Herm.
I know. Yeah.
You know, Herm's the ultimate salesman. You know, mm-hmm. and the greatest communicator. Mm-hmm. You know, around. You know,
he's
just one of those type of dudes. So. If that job opened up, absolutely we'd be mm-hmm. interested in. But like I said, have no interest whatsoever in the NBA.
What's the pros and cons of being a head coach? Obviously, you are a player.
The money. No, I'm just Well, that's one, obviously.
That's one, yeah.
The biggest pro is that you get paid you know, crazy as a head coach opposed to being an assistant coach.
Right.
Okay. But the biggest, I mean, every job has its plus and minuses.
Right.
I mean, one of the biggest minuses is that you really do have to understand that you got to get everybody on the same page, and that is a lot harder to do than it is just saying it.
Absolutely.
You know, coaches-wise, too. You know, I got to hire a coaching staff that I know has my back and I have their back.
Yep.
And one of my rules was always, you don't talk to the media. Mm. I talk to the media only, because I don't want them to have two different voices or hear something different from you. And I say, because then me and you going to have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they hear from me only, you know. Mm. But everything we talk about in our meetings, guys, you know, you're at liberty to say anything you want. I thought it was upon me as a coach to get assistant coaches ready for the next level as well.
Nice.
So you got certain teams you're going to scout, certain teams you're going to, you know, do the scouting report on, you know, for game day and all that, so they can get used to being in front of the team talking to them.
Yep.
But, you know, other than that, you know, the biggest challenge is always being able to get guys to be able to coexist and think the same way and all want to just win.
Yeah.
You know.
It's the hardest thing.
Forget scoring.
Right.
You know.
Win.
Because at the end of the day with Russ, let's say he wins a championship. Mm-hmm. He can go to a party and talk to people and they can say, he can ask them the question, because I do the same thing. How many points did I score in my career?
Mm.
I don't know. How many championships did I win? What, 3, 4?
Right. They know that.
They remember that.
They remember that.
That's when you leave your legacy.
Wow.
Winning championships.
That's what leaves your legacy. LeBron, as great as he is, you can ask somebody, unless he's a basketball crazed that will understand how many points he scored and all that,
his
place in history in points and steals. But they'll remember how many times he went to the finals and how many championships he won.
I remember that bubble don't count. I remember that, too.
you can talk about that bubble all you want. That bubble counts. I don't care.
That put us
up there with Boston tied, so now we got to try to get one to get. That's why I'm rooting for Golden State so bad.
I can't
have Boston go up to 19 and win 18. I'm rooting for Golden State. So Golden State, if y'all hear me, what y'all did in game 2, do in game 3, 4, 5, let's end this series.
Hey, one of my boys who was a diehard Laker fan, Anthony Shaw, he called me the other night because he tried to get me to bet against Golden State.
Because
he called me, goes,
it was crazy.
He's like, who you got in this series? He knows I'm a Golden State Warrior fan. So he wanted me to bet on Boston. And then he was like, man, he said, I said, who you got? He said, and he's like, I'm going with the Warriors, because he's like, he's just like you. He's like, because
if Boston
gets one more than the Lakers,
I can't handle it.
He knows. He said, I'm going to hear it from you here on out.
I'll be like, no. Hey, as soon as they went to the final, but I did feel they were going to beat Miami. I just thought they were a much better basketball team.
Wow. Yeah,
you know, and they were better equipped to play against Golden State, you know, where it would be a good series.
Right.
But I was like, once they get there, I want them to win. I'm betting on Golden State everything I got right now. I'm like, look, please. You know, I had to call Michael Thompson and say, man, go down and call Clay and them, tell them,
let's get this thing
make
going.
Sure they get this series won.
I want to ask you one thing about Kobe. What is your proudest moment, you know, that you saw or you witnessed from Kobe? Because I was, like I said, to be able to see him in his infancy stage, embryonic stage of his career, and have that talk with Kobe and then see it unfold the way that it did. Obviously, like, we as fans, we saw so many highlights, so many games, and either one game or one moment kind of sticks out in our heads. What moment sticks out are you probably most proud of, you know, with Kobe? And I know that's probably, like, tough.
Yeah, it is, but it's really two that come to mind, like, right away. Number one was watching him watch Gigi play basketball.
Wow. You know,
that was it.
Just watching him. Because he would tell me, you know, because he would bring her to practice and he was like, Coach, she's like me. Mm. And I was like, wait a minute. We got a miniature mama
with
a skirt?
Mama in a skirt.
He's like, she got my mentality. She going to be a beast. And as we're talking, she's on the court shooting and playing. And I would look at her and I was like, whoa. You know, so I remember he went to one of her AAU games. And probably a week before that game, he was teaching her to step back. Mm-hmm. Boom, boom, step back, jump shot, right? So during this game, she stepped back, bam. Mm. Came down again, stepped back, bam. And Kobe was sitting there, all of a sudden he did one of these, you know?
Proud.
Just
dad.
A proud dad. Wow. You know, watching his girl learn and take the advice that he was giving her and apply it.
Have it, you know, come into fruition right in front of
him. You could tell how proud he was of her. And that right there, I was just like, I almost start crying because I got a daughter, you know, and I got kids. But just sitting down there talking to him and watching her after practice and the way he would go out there and work with her and then to see it come to fruition, I was like, wow. It was just an unbelievable moment, you know. Mm-hmm. And then number two, obviously, you know, for me is the last game, 60 points. Mm-hmm. You know, because that game started off rough.
What?
He was like 0-7, 0-8, and I can remember just standing up, and I'm sitting there, and I'm watching it, and as he's going up and down the court, he missed another shot. You know, he come down, he missed. I was like, damn, I don't want Kobe to go out this way. You know what I'm saying? That's all I kept saying to myself. I don't want him to go out this way. And then he got fouled, goes to the free throw line, hits a couple of free throws, comes down, hits a jumper, and then he started rolling.
Started heating up.
Oh, man, he started rolling. So, you know, taking him out in the second quarter, you know, I was like, I'm going to play him a lot. You know, I said, but I got to give him a rest in this first half.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In the second half, I was like, you ain't coming out.
You it's know? All
so,
you.
So, yeah, you're going to play the rest of this game. Mm-hmm. And I remember with 6 minutes left, I looked up, he had 40. Mm-hmm. I was like, damn.
Right.
You know, but he was on the bench. And T.O., when I mean he was.
Oh, he was laboring.
He was hurting.
But he wasn't going to stop, though.
And I went to him and I said, all right, 6 more minutes left in this game. And it's just like it's only me and him. Player, I got my board, but it's really like me. I said, KB, you got 6 more minutes in that body of yours?
You absolutely. Know what this is? You said that last 6 minutes, it was just you and him?
Yeah.
You just told us at the beginning of the show, when y'all start out, it was just you
just
and him.
Just me and him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you and
you're
him
right, again. Me and him.
That's
just
crazy.
Me and him. And it came full circle.
Right.
You know,
that's
20
awesome.
Years later.
Awesome.
It came full circle, and I'm looking at him, and I said, you got 6 more minutes left in that body of yours? He said, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Went out there and just, you know, and again, you know, us as coaches always trying to make everybody think that we got all these special plays shit. Man, we would come to the bench. I was like, all right, Kobe, where you want it?
Up ISO. Here.
Catch it. Y'all get the hell out the way.
I said,
unless he call you, you know, and Julius. I said, hey, JR, unless he call you to set the pick and roll, then y'all get the hell out the way.
Still go stand
he set the pick. Kobe come off, bam.
Man,
and then Kobe would just call him up. Come on back, you know, bam. And so that moment for me, especially at the end when he walks off the court, because he walks off with Shaq. Mm. He hits Gary V. Then he hits me. Mm-hmm. You give me the biggest hug, and he says, I love you, Coach, you know, and I was,
awesome.
You know,
awesome,
you know, just, it was a special, you know, I'll never forget it.
Absolutely.
You know,
and
then
out.
His speech, his speech, you know, and then not only the speech to the crowd, but the speech in the locker room to the guys was, he said, listen, I'm leaving this game with no regrets because I gave it everything I got every single night.
Absolutely.
He said, I didn't take plays off.
Absolutely.
And that's right awesome. There, I was just like, If y'all, I told him, I said, if y'all don't learn from anything that, from this, something wrong with y'all.
Yeah.
I said, something wrong with y'all. You know, absolutely. And that was just the greatest night, man.
Absolutely.
Ever for me.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, man. Taking your time out, man.
Love
sharing
you guys,
sharing the wisdom, brother.
Yes, sir.
You know, you ain't done coaching. I got a feeling you ain't done coaching. You know what I'm saying? Coach.
Just don't wish the NBA
Scott
on me. That's
is in the
all.
Building. Get your popcorn ready podcast. See you guys next week.
Byron Scott.